when getting people back to work is not like opening day of baseball. I'm David Brancaccio. President Trump has now outlined new federal guidelines for easing the economy back up, deferring to states to set their own timelines once they meet certain criteria. More widespread testing for coronavirus, whether you have it, whether you have had it, is one key to this. Now, retail giant Amazon is looking at testing all of its employees. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Not everyone who can transmit COVID-19 shows symptoms, but to reopen workplaces, employers are going to want to make sure job sites are safe, says Rajay Batniji, a doctor and founder of the employer health program Collective Health.
I think it's inevitable that employers are going to have to take the lead on getting broad testing for COVID done.
He says many workers are used to getting seasonal flu vaccines at work, and medical professionals have to prove they're cleared for diseases like TB. But Edgar Jatu with the nonprofit Workplace Fairness Organization points out federal law generally protects workers from medical evaluations by employers.
There's so many things that would have to be worked out before allowing the employer, you know, this type of access to their medical information,
including job protections for workers who are found to be ill. And employers might have to test workers again and again, which would require a massive ramp-up of testing capacity. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
We've been hearing how President Trump frames the question of how we might at some point get back to work after a season of sheltering in place. Let's get a global perspective from an economist who is editor-in-chief of The Economist magazine, our friend Zanny Minton-Beddoes in London. Welcome.
Great to be with you.
I never know how the game of cricket works over there, but Zanny, the economy is not like opening day for baseball. We're not going to play the national anthem and the economy pops back open after the COVID lockdown. How should we think about this?
Well, I'm a little sketchy on cricket too. I tend not to use any sporting metaphors because I always get them wrong. So let me use a different one. I think the economy has been put effectively into a medically induced coma. And so how do you bring the economy out of it? And you do it, as you do with patients, extremely cautiously. The reason we're thinking about this already is because we're seeing the alarming cost of the lockdown, economic cost of the lockdown, which is huge, but is also going to get a lot bigger very fast. And I was very struck this week with the International Monetary Fund's forecasts, where they already say that we this year are going to see the biggest downturn since the Great Depression, 3% shrinking of global GDP. But that is predicated on economies opening up. If, however, the lockdown continues into the third quarter of this year, they expect the size of that downturn to double to 6%.
Can we learn from strategies in other countries? I mean, Germany's already thinking very specifically about ways to get workers back.
We can. I mean, everybody is thinking about it, but most of the world is still incredibly susceptible to a second wave of the virus. Most people haven't been exposed to this virus, and I suspect governments will be reaching different positions on three different parameters, and that's going to affect it. And the first, and I think by far the most important, is the ability to test. Because the only way that you're going to know whether you've got a resurgence in the rate of infections is by having huge amounts of testing. But the second is really, really effective ways of contact tracing, so that once you test and you find someone who has been exposed to the virus, you can actually then trace all the people that they have been in touch with. And then the third set of parameters is, what do you actually ease first? You know, do you open schools first? Do you allow shops to open?
I suppose another question is what we reopen to. It's not just going to be the old way of doing things.
That's exactly right. And it's not going to get back to normal until we have a vaccine or an effective treatment that is very widespread. And that's going to be a year or 18 months or longer. It's a normal, I think, of wearing masks in public. It's a normal where restaurants, if they are open, have tables set much further apart. It's a normal where factories are reconfigured so that people on assembly lines are far apart from each other. And if you look at what's going on in the Chinese economy, although it has come back dramatically from where it was, it's operating perhaps at 90% capacity, which is still a dramatic downturn relative to where the Chinese economy was. And so I think we're not going to go back to anything like what we had, you know, even 6 weeks ago in the short term.
Zanny Minton-Beddoes is an economist and the editor-in-chief of The Economist magazine. Zanny, always good to catch up.
Great to talk to you, too. Stay safe.
Yeah, checking markets, the Dow future is up 755 points, 3.2%. The S&P future now up more than 3%. Some market participants are latching onto a report in a respected health science journalism site called Stat News that human tests of a treatment for COVID-19 by Gilead Sciences may be showing promise. Gilead stock is up 10% in pre-market trading now. Treatment, not vaccine. Since the beginning of modern records, China's economy has grown and grown quarter after quarter until this last one. Submerged by this virus, China's economic output has shrunk. January to March, China's GDP was 6.8% lower than a year earlier. Here's the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker.
The new data from China show very starkly the impact that the coronavirus and efforts to contain it have had. In the previous 3 months, China's economy expanded by a robust 6% from a year earlier. Now it's been shown that it declined by even more in the 3 months to the end of March. Other countries, with very few exceptions, will reveal substantial damage as they publish figures for that period. But for the others, the health crisis arrived slightly later than in China, so the full economic impact is likely to be felt in the second quarter of 2020, a period which has just begun.
That's the BBC's Andrew Walker. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.